Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. The thing that's very hard for us to describe sometimes. When you think about the peace that passes all understanding, I often think about peace when you have a person that lives in the midst of a war zone. I know I've heard a lot of stories from Ukraine. I heard a lot of stories back when Iraq and Afghanistan were happening about the enclaves of Christians who were undergoing persecution and the possibility of death. I've heard a lot of stories out of Iran of people who are to this very day, in a sense, hunted. Because if they catch them, and the same in North Korea, if you are found out to be a follower of Jesus Christ in North Korea, church, I assure you, you will begin to hate your earthly life very fast because they do unspeakable things to Christians. They have a special disdain. The Kim family has a special disdain for Christians. They hate them with everything in them. They have tortured many of them and killed many of them throughout the ages since the Korean conflict happened and Kim Jong-sung came into power. And that is the thing that is a follower of Christ to me to help me understand peace is if you're in a place of conflict where you are hated and hunted, you are sitting in your house in prayer with an overwhelming sensation of freedom, a sensation of elation, a sensation of peace is what that would represent to me. It doesn't mean that the circumstances around us are ideal. It doesn't mean that as the world says, the stars have aligned, so to speak, in your favor. That's not the picture of peace. Peace is when everything around you may be a storm, maybe a violent storm. Everything may be unwinding around you, but peace, true peace, is when you sit in the midst of that and say, Lord, let your will be done, not mine. God, I know that you'll never leave me, you'll never forsake me. And I pray, though, that we grasp a greater understanding of peace because as we go through Advent, I really hope that each one of you, and this is one of the things to kind of help you understand what I'm talking about. Remember what I said, that the enemy loves distractions and diversions. Is it not ironic that just a week before I shared that with you and how our focus on Advent, I really wanted to help you grasp that ability to just take captive the whole month of December from Thanksgiving right after until Christmas to really reflect and to meditate and not get caught in any distractions or any of the, it's wonderful to have Christmas with your family and to do, it's great, nothing wrong with that. But you've got to remember that the real reason for this has nothing to do with presents. It has nothing to do with the Christmas tree. It has to do with Jesus. It's Jesus' birth. That's the reason we celebrate this season we know as Christmas. Isn't it ironic that 1 week later, I go into the hospital for almost 2 weeks, and all this happens, and by the way, if I forget something, please text and remind me, and I mean that right now in my mind. That really messed me up, not only the infection, but all the antibiotics. My mind is having a very difficult time. A week feels like a day feels like a week. Everything is really jumbled up right now, and it will be for a little bit of time. Give me time. My marbles will get back, Lord willing, where they need to be. Amen? Keep praying for me. I know it's going to be good. My mind was good before, and I know the Lord can restore it. But right now, things are like that, and I actually was reflecting on it this week when I was praying what God would have me share in terms of peace, and I recognized the enemy's attack strategically the very week that I mentioned what I'd mentioned to you, because what he wanted me to do, not only did he want to kill me, he wanted me out of here. He disdains me, always has. He disdains what the representation, what the ministry of Longview Baptist represents to not only us, our families, the community, and the world for that matter. He doesn't like this because the true gospel's proclaimed, and when the gospel's proclaimed, lives are going to be changed, Families are going to be changed. Generations are going to be changed. So what he wants you to do is get upset, fired up, mad, embittered, anger, dissension, and all of those different things, because his objective is to steal, kill, and destroy. And God forbid you leave out of here and actually be a true disciple, because what's going to happen, you're going to be what's called a world changer. You're going to be a part of someone that is effective in transforming the world for something that doesn't stop. It transcends time. It goes throughout the ages. So I realized that. I said, wow, God, he really is a slick one, isn't he? Trying to get me distracted so that I won't talk about it with the church. By the way, sorry, I shake really bad now. And that has to do with the antibiotics. I don't know why. It's depleted me, and I have a great sympathy for people who battle Parkinson's disease, because I really am struggling with that. But God's bigger than all that. But what this whole thing has helped me, and maybe God just wanted to give me a magnifying glass onto the principle that I was sharing, and how much we have to battle being distracted and diverted. I've had to make sure when I'm in the car, Eddie, listen to Christmas music. Where is he? Uh-oh. He's already went home to watch Hallmark. But he's wanted, I have to stay focused right now, because it's so easy. I'm so exhausted. I'm so physically beat down right now that it's in a sense a battle with meditating and staying in that place of peace in the midst of the storm. I have to continually reiterate who I am and who I am in. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have to continually reiterate the truths of Scripture, that Romans 8, 38 and 39, height nor depth, angels, principalities, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God. Because what the enemy wants to do is say, listen, look what you're doing for the Lord, and look what your family and all the things you've sacrificed, and could God not have been a little better in response to those things? And I have to remember, those are lies. Those are lies from the enemy. Because if 11 of the 12 disciples lost their lives for the gospel cause and truth, God doesn't owe me anything. He owes me nothing. He's given me everything that I could ever want in salvation through Christ. We have been blessed beyond comprehension. We forget that. See, what the enemy does is he gets this micro-focus so that we'll never experience this peace. And what we'll do is get focused in thinking, you know what, Lord, if my mortgage was less, if my house was bigger, if my car was nicer, if my driveway was paved, if I lived in the country, if I had less land, if I had more land, you know what I'm saying, about these competing narratives, that the people in the city want to live in the country, and some of the in the country decide they want to live in the city when they get older. And all of these different things, what we can do is end up ultimately cursing our blessings, never experiencing peace, because what we're doing is we've been caught in a distraction and a diversion that diverts us from focusing and meditating on the Lord. Had a lot of trouble with my heart skipping in the last month. Well, I'm already on medicine for it. And at times I got to worry about that, because I go, you know, oh man, I'm weak right now. Now my heart's skipping. And I have to say, no, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't need to worry about that. It's going to be all right. It's going to keep ticking till it doesn't tick. It won't stop till God's ready. Amen? And I have to stay focused, as Colossians chapter 3 says. If you are a King James person, you'll love it. Colossians 3, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth, for we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. See, that's real. That's what you can take, to, in essence, to the bank. When things look bleak in the mind, it can get overwhelming and discouraging when you go through the valleys physically, and you're going to have surgeries, and those who have had surgeries know what I'm talking about, or sickness. You can get overwhelmed in those feelings of complacency and apathy, and the frustration when you want to go to McDonald's and just get a good Big Mac, fries, and a drink, and it takes them 45 minutes to do it. When you get it, you say, did you pull this out of the garbage can? And then the people want to make you feel like they're doing you a favor by giving you what you paid for. And you can get overwhelmed in that discouragement and do like us middle and older agers do. Things weren't like that when I was young. Never thought I'd be there. I'm there. And then some.
As I walked into an establishment right before a doctor's appointment to get breakfast 2 weeks ago, I walk in after the 24 hours, open 24 hours IHOP, the doors shut, locked, closed. Go to the Denny's down the street. Denny's is heat's out. You see the stuff blowing inside there. So then a Waffle House is right next door. Walk over to Waffle House. That woman's on her Bluetooth, talking about a rebellious son and how funny it was and how rebellious and out of control he is. Stood there for 5 minutes waiting, never even looked. When I walked in, the person cooking went over and took their plate, sat down, started eating. Those things can begin to wear on you. The enemy comes in threes. He loves to pile it on and by threes because you'll never focus on one of the things effectively. He doesn't want peace. He doesn't want hope. He doesn't want joy. And most assuredly, he doesn't want you to live in the love of Christ. Because see, then you find the person of Christ, the center candle, and it transforms your life. He wants us apathetic, indifferent, unconcerned. He wants us to walk out of here and what we talk about right now to go in one ear, out the other ear. And he never wants what you hear and see and read in God's word that he calls us to be to find that place of peace. He never wants it to be a reality for you, your family, your children, and most assuredly, your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. He wants to stop it now. How's he doing? All you have to do is look in our association at the churches that have closed in the last few years. And if you're like myself, you'd say he's doing a pretty good job. He's doing a pretty good job of church people showing up at church and occupying a pew but never knowing a working, living, lasting relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves when we get so focused on, well, at least they're doing that. I'm doing better than they are. And he wants us to see that we're doing a great job with us judging our lives against another person that's deader than four ways from Sunday spiritually. Doesn't ever want us to truly get it, fall in love with Jesus, and be willing to give everything because the fulfillment that you found in him has been found in nothing and no one else. So that's why we have to really step back. And as Paul says, examine yourselves to see that you're in the faith. I call it doing an introspective look, looking inside. Because if not, remember, I was a pastor's son that was as warped, broken, reprobate, and lost as lost ever was until I was 29 years old. You can do what I was. And I remember as a police officer, a guy was rolling over in the console. He had a gun in there. And I was really on my A game back then. I was about 28 years old. And I caught what he was doing. And I guess what I said? You move your hand one more second, you're fixing to go out of here. Get your hand. And he had a gun. And I have had nightmares that happened before September 20th of 2004. I've had nightmares that man shot me. And I always wake up in a sweat, because what I know now is that I would have died lost and without hope. A man that had heard everything from the time I was born at 2 weeks old, my mom took me to church. I'd been so churched, I was inoculated from the truth because I was so immersed by it. See, I knew about it, but I didn't know Christ. I knew all the things to say. I knew Bible verses. I could sit and have the greatest of theological conversations with you. But I had no idea what it was to actually be a follower of Christ, a true, regenerate follower of Christ. See, I'm thankful today because I realize that walking with Christ is not about rules, it's about relationship. It's about coming to that place of perfect peace we're going to see this morning. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at John chapter 14, and we're going to look at one verse, verse 27 this morning. Again, of a message titled, Peace I Give. And what I hope this does, again, is redirect, in a sense, our compass. Let's get a redirection. Some of your cars have compasses in them. And sometimes you have to go out in the parking lot, push the button, drive around about four times so that it realigns itself. Our spiritual compasses, our directions, I'm not going to lie, they get off. We can get way out of track. We can be following what mom did, what mom said, what dad said, what grandpa. I had a great relationship with my grandfather. He was actually, I called him Pop. He was like, him and I had a closer relationship than my father did. Matter of fact, we had one that was almost like brothers. My mother's father was to me one of the finest friends that I've ever had in my lifetime. And there are things that can happen with people that you respect and love that much. If they're theologically off and you have such a high regard and respect for them, you can sometimes follow their path, which might not be the path, and you can end up finding yourself in a place of blindness because you were following what another person that you highly regarded does and did, and it took you from the truth instead of leading you to the truth. So what I hope today is that all of us will take our spiritual baskets, what everybody's imparted, what they've given you in life, and today I want you to open it up and dump it out. And I want to encourage you this morning to go through what's in that basket theologically and spiritually and ask yourself this question. Is this God's truth or is this man's religion, this man's truth? God, I want you today to reveal to me if I've put you in a box. I know Christians right now say, well, God don't heal now. That was an apostolic thing in the New Testament, and God just doesn't do that anymore. So I know that, and when I pray, Lord, you know, God, just, you know, this, do whatever you want for your will, and they pray accordingly. And when they pray, they know God doesn't heal anymore, and whatever happens will turn out wonderfully, and it'll be great, and, you know, good or bad. See, I know the truth. The truth is that one day I had to do that box thing I'm telling you to do right now. When I said, God, I will no longer box you in. And I know you can do anything right now. You can heal. You can do whatever you want to do. And I know you have the power to do it. See, that's why we do what James chapter 5 says, church, about praying over people and anointing them with oil when they come and ask to be prayed over and anointed with oil. That's what the Bible says. I know some people say, well, that's back during the apostolic era and the apostles, and that's not now. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You can believe what you want to believe, but I'm going to believe in the power of God because I know that God can and does do whatever God wants to do. And I know that the Bible says when we pray according to God's will, what's God's will? That people would be delivered, set free, come to faith in Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's as I experienced with praying over a young man about 17 years ago, they had cancer, and God healed this person. The doctors didn't understand why. Well, I knew why. Because God can do anything. Does God do it every time like we think we should or we prayed? No. Does that mean that we better start praying with an out in there? Meaning, well, I'm going to tell them, you know, Lord, hey, I just want you to understand, you might not get healed, and it's okay, but what, stop doing that. We just know we want God's will. The only problem with that is we don't know what God's will is. If God's will is to take someone home to be with them, God be the glory. If you have been praying, Lord, heal them, He has healed them like never before. See, if your work on earth is done and God heals them physically and keeps them here, then guess what? God is no longer God. What God has done is He's bending His desires for man's, and actually, remember the King Saul? If God's prayer is to finish the work that this person has done and it ends in their death and being able to minister maybe to the staff at the hospital, does that mean that God's bad? If God didn't answer the prayer? Absolutely not. He answered. And that's why I always say, God, I don't know what your will is. Someone last night had reached out to me and I sent him a big long text about I talk about the picture, the painting, the canvas, the puzzle. It's all different forms of it that I share with you. And I just shared with this person that, you know, it's profound how God takes each of us and each of us are a paintbrush in His hand with different colors. And God will take us and He'll do this. And then there's something else that He's doing and He does all of this. And then He brings us back in and in all of us are a part of the masterpiece. The painting's not going to be done without your brushstroke. That's why the body of Christ is so important. We're made up of many members. You are important. And I want to tell you right now, if you're not doing what God's created you to do, someone's not being ministered to that God created you to minister to. Someone right now may not know Jesus because you have never taken hold of what God's desire was for you and His purpose and His will. Ever thought of that? You ever thought about that friend of yours that doesn't know Christ? And you're like, you know, I really wish they'd just get straightened up, and you're in church but not really living the call of a disciple. And you ever thought about what could happen if you got serious about what we're hearing this morning? You ever thought about this morning what would happen if your life was truly consumed in peace, where you didn't go around bitter and angry and mad at everything and everyone, the whole entire world, and you wonder why nobody wants to be around you anymore? And that's what I've told you all. When you text me, I've had a tendency to want to lie to you when I don't feel good, right? Say, oh, I'm great. But I said it would be disingenuous. I'm not doing great now. Just keep praying. God's good. Hey, I'm still saved, and he's good all the time. And I've put those things in there because we can finish on what matters. But when you asked me, I don't want to be disingenuous and lie to you. I don't think it's fair. It's not right, but at the same time, I don't want you to text me and then go, man, I just felt like I just got a mouthful of rocks because you were hoping that I was going to tell you I was doing great. It's okay to have those seasons. You just keep praying and see God is still good and he's still faithful and God's still using everything for his purpose, will, and with a greater plan than we could ever imagine. And I hope you have John 14. We're going to look at this again. One verse, verse 27. And if you're physically able, let's stand out of reverence this morning for the reading of God's word. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Father, thank you this morning, Lord, for this privilege we have to worship you, to hear your word proclaimed. God, thank you this morning that Christ Jesus represents, as we looked at last week, hope. This morning, peace. Father, give us a new understanding, a greater understanding. Magnify your word to our hearts today. God, grow us, convict us, challenge us, Lord, with what it is that you want to do in your perfect time for your glory. Hide me behind the cross. Let the only thing this morning be the truth. It shakes our very foundations, equips us, and calls us to go be disciples, teaching them everything I've commanded you. Father, let us be obedient to that mandate, that great commission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's a story. Catherine Marshall writes in Stories of the Heart about a king who offered a prize to the artist who could paint the best picture of peace. I shared this, I guess, about, remember, it's probably 10 or 15, 14, 13 years ago. So I remember sharing it because the story really resonated with me. But the king looked at all of these pictures that had been painted to best describe peace, and there are only two that he really liked that he had to choose from at the end. One of them was of a beautifully calm lake, not a ripple in it, perfect mirror that reflected the mountains, beautiful towering mountains all around it. Sky was blue, fluffy white clouds in it. Everybody who saw it thought, wow, what a perfect picture of peace. The other picture had mountains, but they were rugged and they were bare. They did not have what this other one had had. There was an angry sky, and rain was falling, lightning flashed. Down the side of one of the mountains tumbled a foaming waterfall, big, long, wide waterfall. Now, to most, everybody would have looked at that and said, that is not the picture of peace. That is the picture of anything but peace. But when the king looked closely, he could see the way it was painted behind the waterfall was a little bush that had grown out of a crack in the rock. And in that bush was a mother bird's nest. In the middle of the rush of that angry water sat that mother bird on her nest in perfect peace. Peace means to be in the midst of all of those things. You can be in the midst of the lightning and the rain and everything around you that screams everything but peace. See, peace is That bird sitting on a nest in the protection of the rock, the cleft of the rock. Spiritually, it's the same way. This morning, it can all be falling apart all around you. But where is your hope? Where's your rest? Where's your joy, especially in a time like now when all you have to do is turn on your 65-inch big screen 4K with your surround sound stereo and have some sugar daddy preacher on TV telling you that God wants nothing but money, health, wealth, rainbows, and blessing because that's what he wanted for us. Man, that's kind of a good thing to hear, right? If you don't have anything and you're down to nothing, if that's what God wants, it'd be real easy to fall victim to that, wouldn't it? But see, that's not truth. I don't care what they say, and I don't care how successful they are in propagating what they're saying the Bible says. It doesn't make it true. Because we know all throughout Scripture, one most notably that I share with you consistently is James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many, some versions say diverse kinds. Doesn't say if, it says when. And see, when is a real differentiating word. It tells you exactly about the time frame that it's going to happen. It's telling you it will happen. When means it's coming. If you have the IRS send you a letter, when we get there, you're not going to go, oh, I wonder if they'll come. You know they're coming. Amen? They're not playing. They've already told you, you won't know when, but we're coming. So that's what the Scripture consistently shows us, is that it's going to happen. As I say almost weekly, and I think it's important to reiterate this, if 11 of the 12 disciples were killed for the cause of Christ, remember just before Jesus died, every one of them had abandoned him. Wonder why in the world that had been so dumb if Christianity wasn't true to have abandoned him only to after he's been killed, if they never saw him rise from the dead, to go and die for this thing that was completely hopeless, pointless, and false? No. They saw Jesus face to face. They knew that he was the Messiah. That was how, with such passion, they realized he was the Son of God. The peace that they were able to die with, which angered, by the way, many of the, throughout Scripture, if you've read much in the books historically of Christians being killed, there's one thing that the persecutors disdain about Christians' death. They die quietly. It's been one of the resounding things, the themes that has been explained when people have written about these things. It makes them angry. Nero was a real prolific killer of Christians. And they angered them. They wanted them to scream and to be tormented, and they would die silently. You know why? It's called dying grace. It's that thing that if you're in medical and you see a Christian die and you hear the stories, and you can read countless stories even from physicians about the difference in a Christian dying versus someone who doesn't profess any faith. How many times they'll hear music and they'll talk about seeing either Jesus, they'll talk about these amazing things. But as I've even seen in my life 30 years ago, I've watched people who wanted nothing to do with it in absolute terror and horror. It is very shaking to witness. See, what do Christians have that's different from the world? See, as believers, true followers of Christ, we have a peace. What does that peace represent? It's the same as that bird on that nest under that waterfall with the lightning and the storms and the rugged mountains, and everything in the picture represents anything but life. It looks like a bad movie where you're hiking and get lost and end up being found in a skeletal fashion months later. See, that's the picture, though, of Christ. Everything around does not look like it's going to work, and everything looks hopeless and pointless. See, that's where the peace of God is most beautifully displayed in our lives, most notably. It's when you don't understand why God's doing it and you don't understand why the circumstance are happening. Lord, why my wife, why my husband, why my child, why, you know, we go in these things and why? Peace be still. My peace I give you. Do not be troubled. See, God has sent us the Comforter. The promised Comforter has now been manifest in Acts as we've been going through the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit of God that dwells in us. See, this is not the church. This is a building that the church, we are the church. The Old Testament, God dwelt within a structure. He dwelt within the Holy of Holies. Amen. New Testament, New Covenant. Old Testament was Holy of Holies. New Testament is we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within us as a follower of Christ, as a Christian. That's why I say to you, be careful what you do, what you expose yourself to, because you're dragging Jesus to the show. Puts in a different perspective, doesn't it? When you realize on Sunday morning, this building's dead in a sense until the body of Christ comes, and then this is the gathering of the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit. But see, we unite today with believers all over the globe in unison. We are one, e pluribus unum, right on our money, out of many one. It's awesome, isn't it? We are united today in Christ Jesus. And that to me is really encouraging, church. As I think about the rugged mountains all around us, and I'm not even talking about physically, I'm talking about the picture of what's happening societally all around us. When you see stories like what happened this week with the FedEx driver and a 7-year-old, and this person has been killed, and you go, God, I just don't understand that. You can't even trust your drivers from these institutions that we have always historically trusted. God, what can begin? You can become complacent. You can become apathetic. You can become cynical. You can become bitter. You can become angry. You can become withdrawn out of a fear that there is no ability to trust anything or anyone. See, we can't live like that. We have to live with the truth that God is in control. He never has in any way abdicated, given away his authority, given away his ability to protect us. Nothing can happen to us that God doesn't allow. And a little hangnail, how in the world can a deadly bacteria get in a hangnail? I'll never understand. I don't chew my nails. Y'all are chewing or going, uh-oh. Your mouth's one of the dirtiest places on the body. All kind of bacteria in there. Matter of fact, you can get bad dental stuff happen, and you can get myocarditis, an attack on your heart from your teeth. I don't chew my nails. I use hand sanitizer, wash my hands. God allowed it for a reason and a purpose. He's still in control. And as I said to you, if God had been through with me, church, I assure you there'd be a fresh mound of dirt somewhere, just like at the end of our driveway. They buried somebody yesterday in the cemetery next to us. I can assure you, if it was God's time, nothing would have stopped it. And that's where today I can rest. And likewise with you, if you are in obedience, living as a follower of Jesus Christ, the purpose, plan, and path he has for you, you can likewise rest in that peace today. Perfect love casts out all fear. No fear. God is not a God of fear. He's a God of power, love, and of a sound mind. That tells us we have nothing to fear. We can rest in that peace. So what happens when you're like I was, tormented for almost 2 weeks with the pain of what I was dealing with and being ineffectively treated for it, and you don't understand, you can sit in this monumental battle that I had spiritually, literally. It was like something out of This Present Darkness with Peretti. I have to continue to repeat Scripture and the promises of God because the enemy was there saying something quite contradictory. And that's what he does, because he's a liar. And he's a thief. And he wants to take what he has no right to. My question to us today is, are we going to let him? Are you going to let him get you out of the place of perfect peace in your body of Christ where God's planted you, or your family, or relationship structure, wherever it is in your life? Because why? The enemy sows discord, and he gets you upset because somebody didn't think your pants looked good when you were like, you asked them about them, and you said, I wouldn't get caught dead in a pair of those. You know, as you're bantering back and forth, and instead of going, oh, that's my friend, they're just cutting up, you get all soiled up. And you get madder than a wet hen. And you start brewing over it, and you start stewing over it. Next thing you know, you're ready to break off everything that you could ever have had with them, because not going to do it no more. Done. History. And when you go to them, if you said, hey, you hurt my feelings, they'd go, oh, I'm sorry, I never would have meant to hurt your feelings. You just always told me to be honest with you, and I wouldn't wear those, but hey, you do you, you do me. It ain't no big deal. We'll do it, you know, hey, it's okay. When you get to be my age, you care less about what people think. Amen? You don't care about putting a pair of shorts on and a pair of black socks and some wingtip shoes and a pair of 1970s short shorts and a t-shirt to go mow your lawn. I'm not there yet. But you get to that point in life where you stop caring about what people think, because you realize the older you get, there's no way you make everybody happy in the first place. So you just be that person that is at peace with who God created you to be. And see, that's where peace is found, because you're not a slave to the fact reality, the true reality. You couldn't make everybody happy if you wanted to. And if you tried, you'd only find yourself more exhausted, broken, hurt, and at a place of complete emptiness. See, that's why it's such a blessing to serve King Jesus. A.W. Tozier said, and he said this statement about Christmas and about what his observations were with people. He says, Christ came to bring peace. We celebrate his coming by making peace impossible for 6 weeks of the year. He came to help the poor as we heap gifts on those who do not need them. Whew. That's pretty spot on, amen? What I've been trying to do over the last, I guess, Advent we've done for 13 or 14 years now, I've done that with an explicit purpose of helping you grasp a greater, more intimate, magnified picture of what Christ Jesus means. And I say that because even if you've been doing this now for 14 years, no matter how powerfully you've been able to achieve that, we're still not a tenth of the way there, amen? Because the magnitude of what Jesus means, we as humans cannot fully comprehend. I don't think we ever will, until we stand in his presence in a glorified state, which means we will have full understanding, not limited by the finite brokenness that sin has limited us with. And I think when we get there, we're going to go, man, I didn't know nothing on it. Wow, this is incredible. Same way that as a human, we think about Revelation chapter 5, the worship around God's throne. And if you're like I was, remember, I'm ADD, so I'm thinking about, Lord, I can't stand somewhere for 10 days, much less 10,000 years, stand around worshiping. Lord, I'm going to get nervous. Just the thought of, I'm going to, something. No, you can't imagine. Listen, 10,000 years is not even going to be like 3 minutes sitting in here on a Sunday morning. Where some of y'all might go, anything would beat 3 minutes. Amen. Oh, me. But we're not going to have the human brokenness, the human perceptions and conceptions that we have. We go, you know, I can't wait to go and see my mom and my dad and my grandmother, my grandfather, my brothers, my sisters. See, that this is what's really wild, and this is how our human comprehension is so skewed. We're going to see the guy, the woman, the boy or the girl from Africa that was here 2,000 years ago, that loved Jesus like nothing else, and we're going to know and love them just like we do our family and everybody else. Isn't that kind of wild? We can't understand it because we are limited because of sin. Sin really messed up the beauty and the perfection that God created. But this is what you can be assured of. You can rest in total peace in the fact, ready? I'm going to just leave you these words. It's going to be awesome. Pretty simple statement, but very complex. Today, we are practicing what we'll do in eternity. I would encourage you, when we're up here singing on Sunday mornings, to realize you are giving God a sacrifice of worship, or are you not? Are you singing with everything in you? He says, make a joyful noise. He didn't say, I want you to sound like one of those people on TV. What that means is, you can raise your hands in worship, realizing that you are laying this down the same way that if a king, if we were under kingship, and you had a king in your presence that you loved and respected, and you were to give them a gift, you would do any and everything in your power to give them something that would wow them, that would make them in some way understand how much you loved and appreciated their service as king. Or the lack thereof is the same thing as bringing that blind, speckled, lame sacrifice and going, hey man, what do you think? Isn't this beautiful? The Bible actually talks about what would happen in response to that. What are you doing today in your service to the Lord? Are you giving God the greatest because you realize He gave you everything and He gave me everything? He gave us His best right off the bat in Jesus Christ. He didn't give us the opportunity to hopefully, as a Christian, stand in His presence one day and hear the words, well done. No, He paid the debt in full with the spotless sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, that we celebrate at Christmas time, His birth. Being willing to lay aside the prominent position that Christ had to become like us, to suffer, ridiculed, called a demon. It's got to be demons. There's no way. Mocked, then ultimately spit on, beaten, and the sin of us laid on Him completely. And when that debt had been paid, He breathed His last. As you hear those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? The very Father had to turn His face away because He could not look at the sin. What love. Amen. And that love, 3 days later, as He triumphantly conquered hell and death, having kicked the enemy in the teeth and taken back the title deed to earth. Another revelation. Remember? I was weeping, and John was in weeping in a vision because there was no one able to take the title deed to earth. No one was worthy, and then all of a sudden, hey, the Lamb, the Lion, the tribe of Judah is conquered. He is worthy. And that, this morning, is the picture of what happened when Jesus had paid that sin debt. He took back the keys to hell and death, the title deed to earth. That's those who place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He took us back. The ability that sin had taken from us, He got it back. Every man, woman, or child that ever professes faith in Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, that, brothers and sisters, is something worth rejoicing. And that's this morning what I'm talking about, that peace. Because what God did through Christ Jesus is restore the ability for us to have peace, to have restoration, have fellowship with the Father. What was separated? We were separated from God in the garden. Think about that picture. Man could not enter the presence of the Lord. Old Testament, Old Covenant, Holy of Holies, only the high priest could go in there, and they put a rope on his leg and had bells on the his robe he wore, because if he had unconfessed sin, he was smoked. Dead. DRT. Dead right there. They would drag him out and then say, hey, you're next. And the next priest that was in line would have to go in there. You want to talk about getting nervous? See, God did away with that. And He enables us this morning, because Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sin, to enter His presence. to go boldly before his throne, which could never have happened in the Old Testament, Old Covenant, before what we celebrate this morning. And that's a reason to rejoice today, because he has restored peace with us and the Father. Instead of enmity, instead of the sin debt that had to be paid, it has been paid. One life application principle, and we're done. The peace of God is the only perfect peace. I assure you, you'll never find it if you don't ever find it like this. If you don't ever find it in the person and work of Christ, I will assure you, I've lived a lot of years in my life, and before I was 29 years old, I shoved a bunch of life in short years. And if there was a way to find it, I would have found it. But there is no other way. People might think today that I'm religious. You know, you come to church and, you know, you do devotions with your family and you read your Bible every day. And, you know, how do you do that? Because he's my all. And I have no other option. There is no other source of hope. There's no other source of peace. There's no other source of forgiveness. What do I have to go back to, if you ask? Nothing. So the reason that I get in the presence of God today is because I realize there can be no further peace, no joy, no hope, no love, because until I get in the presence of the architect of my life, the Savior, the Redeemer, there will be no further peace. I cannot separate myself from the source of all joy, peace, hope, and love and expect anything other than the ramifications of separated fellowship from him. The same way as you read this morning with Achan and the sin that separated. See, there was no Christ back then. There was a divine expectation of judgment under the law. Under the New Testament, I'm so thankful that even if you're an Achan, you have 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Wow. To God be the glory. Amen. What promise, what hope this morning? I ask you today, do you have that hope? Not the hope of your parents, not the hope of your grandparents, but you, having examined the box, having let God be God in your life, having stopped framing him in or trying to compact because, well, God don't do that no more. There are no limitations to God, brothers and sisters. Please understand what I'm telling you today. And there is a perfect peace found in that. There is a perfect peace that surpasses all understanding in that. Because there's great hope in realizing that God cannot and will not be limited. Amen. What is your relationship with him this morning? He offers peace. He offers fulfillment. He offers joy. He offers, but it requires us. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He calls us to lay down our lives, our wants, our wills, and our desires, and become a slave to him, a slave to Christ. What does that mean? That means you don't have money anymore. God's got it. Means you don't have a family anymore. You realize they're God's and they can be gone at any moment. You realize you're a steward of everything that God has entrusted you with for a short period of time. And one day, finish the work he has and breathe your last breath. Are you that? I want to challenge you this morning. If you would say, I am a follower of Christ, I know, but I'm just not where I need to be. I remember peace, Brother Jonathan. I've experienced it and I miss it. I think you better get in his presence this morning and deal with whatever it is that has pulled you away from that presence. If you're here this morning and your money's funny and your change is strange, like a preacher we had visiting one time to do a revival said, I'd encourage you this morning to say, God, I give you all of it in my life. You take every bit of it, God, because I'm tired of living for me and I want everything to be about and for you because you are my King. Pray it today. Maybe you have a lost loved one or friend, or maybe that person that God put on your mind this morning when I mentioned about the person right now that doesn't know Jesus that you haven't said a word to about. God's presented you the opportunity. He's given you the ability, the wisdom, and the understanding, but right now you recognize that you should have and you haven't. You have a choice to make. You can keep being silent, or you can decide today, God, today, I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Father, I want to be a city set on a hill. I want my family to be the greatest representation or reflection of Christ's glory, power, and the gift of salvation that could ever happen, Father. And I say that, Lord, with all humility. God, today, take and do whatever needs to happen, Father, to bring me to that place. That's all you got to do. When you pray that in sincerity, you know what he'll do? He'll answer. Now, I can't tell you what path it might take. Sometimes it's things like this that teach us. And then you just do what the words be still and know that he is God. And there's another option. Don't make God take something from you before you realize what's important. Love people in the context that God has called you to, created you to, and commands us to. Because if we begin to set up idols in our life, sometimes God has to remove them. And in my experience, it's very painful. So do it the easy way. This morning, my last, we pray. If you'd sit there today and maybe God, that resonated with you where I said, you know, your mom, your dad, and you've been doing it like they do, your grandmother, grandfather, and today maybe you've recognized that you've been following what they said and they did, but you've never stepped back to find out what he says. And maybe today you'd say, Brother Jonathan, I hear you talk about the day you'd prayed to get saved a thousand times before you remembered, but you remembered on September 20th of 2004, you realized truly for the first time in your life you were separated from God and that there was no peace, no fulfillment, and no hope until you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, repented of your sin. And that's the real deal that I have never experienced. If that's you today, I want you to ask yourself this question. Do you know, a shadow of a doubt, you're a sinner in need of a Savior? Do you know right now that there is nothing you can do to bridge the gap that was created through sin when the brokenness separated, the chasm in between is called hell? C.S. Lewis, if we die and don't know him, and we say we're going to live life like I want to, God merely says, thy will be done. He gives us what we want. Or in this life, we can say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. I will serve you. I will glorify you. I want to live for you, Lord. If you want to do that today, I want to challenge you during the invitation. I'll be glad to sit down with you. Just come up. Don't touch this side. Pat me over here or whisper in my ear, hey, I want to talk to you. And I'll take you in one of these rooms, or one of the ladies will take you, ladies, in one of these rooms. And we will share with you the greatest love story, the best of our ability that has ever been written. And the way it is, broken mankind, the loving God of creation sends his Savior, his Son, to bear the sin. 3 days later, rise from the grave. And he offers this extension, and the Scripture says his desire is that none should perish. See, I trust what Scripture says. And each and every man, woman, or child in their lifetime has that ability to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, repent of their sin. And you either do that in this life, or the Scripture talks about God giving us our will any other way, because there is no other way. There's only one name under heaven by which a man must be saved. And if that's you this morning, I would encourage you, I challenge, and I'll just tell you, I beg you. Not because I get anything out of it. It's because I love you. And I understand that you never experienced what we're talking about this morning that these candles represent. The hope, the peace, the joy, and the love, because it's only found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father,
thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.